much about. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
What's your name?
Chester.
Chester, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Go for it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
www.facebook.com/R, and then all one word, ROTRKROQ. That's www.facebook.com/ROTRKROQ.
Okay, guys, hey, guess what? You just got blazed.
Yeah!
And now,
you are way behind your mind. Come on, wake up.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday morning, the 15th of November. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
Hey, Jensen.
Oh, hello, friends.
Welcome back.
I'm back. I'm, please, refer to me as Mrs. Karp. Yeah, I'm married now.
You gotta be so glad to get out of the house, man. Get away from that ball of chain, right?
Oh, my wife.
Seriously, my wife already.
I've been waiting to say that for years.
So how was it?
It was very fun. We had to be a little tricky on air by saying it's in the future or a few weeks, but it was really now about 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I got married here in Los Angeles, and it was very fun. It was a good time.
Yeah.
Kevin said it was a lovely wedding.
Yes. Kevin came and sat with the entire Boy Meets World cast.
I did.
Which was both a funny visual every once in a while to look over and be like, right. That's not Mr. Feeney. That is just my pal hanging with them. And they're the sweetest people, right?
Plus, I knew no one, but the sweetest people in the world.
Sweetest people. But it was very fun, and it was very lovely. I don't like attention brought to me on birthdays, or I'm not a big, like, say, a speech guy. We made sure no speeches were said. I don't like that kind of attention. Mm-hmm. But, man, I actually very much enjoyed celebrating this love, as corny as it sounds.
Aww.
It's very fun.
And it was not drawn out. Like, some weddings go on forever.
Yeah.
They just got up there, they did it, they said their own vows, and it was a party.
We almost did. Our hashtag, how people have, like, you know, Danielle Jensen or something, you know, for your photos. We almost did. We didn't do one at all, really, but it was going to be just done by 10. Please leave by 10. Yeah.
I heard from people that were there that they thought Kevin was Mr. Feeney and that he looked terrible, that he'd aged poorly since the show went off the air.
No, they did not believe that. Everyone was a huge fan of seeing Kevin. And Allie Siegel was there, and she got to come over and say hello. It was a bit of a nice moment to see my two friends hanging. And Mike Shinoda? Mike Shinoda was hanging. Shinoda, yeah.
Oh, nice. Did you wrap your vows as I would have expected?
No, I think that I would have been booed. I did a
because Danielle would have destroyed you.
That's right. She would have a total battle. No, the first tight 5 minutes of my vows were making fun of Thailand, which is a place that Danielle and I went on vacation and had a very bad time. So when you're writing them at home, I was like, okay, this is kind of a funny idea. But wow, this could go over real bad.
How will it play?
So
you got to think of the parents, right?
I know.
What were the first words of your?
We both hated Thailand.
We
so
both
much.
Hated Thailand so much. That's how we started.
It was a very loving connection we had. We're both supposed to love this place, and then we didn't love it. And so it's a big part of our love story.
Sure,
is that we found love in a horrible place. And so that was my focus, and it went over very well. But I was nervous at first that I wasn't making a joke of it. It was really a large connection for us.
Sure.
So it went well, but I did not wrap it. No.
Hey, there's a lot to be said for people who hate the same stuff that you hate.
That's right. I agree. I feel like that's a bigger connection than if you both like Walking Dead. Like, everyone likes Walking Dead. What if you both hate Walking Dead? Now you have something to connect with.
Sure. Right.
But I don't know.
Like, Allie can't date a Sharks fan, you know? Same sort of thing.
Gross. Same with me.
Yeah.
Right?
That's disgusting.
Yeah, gross. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Kevin refuses to have a Sharks fan on the side. Exactly.
The other thing that I thought was great, and it happens very seldom, is that every single person in the room is a friend of yours or Danielle's and loves you.
Yes.
Like a whole room full of those people. Rarely happens.
So you say like in life or for
in
weddings?
In life.
Oh, yeah. Even. For life. It was very nice in that way. And it was cool. This also was something I didn't expect. The internet really took to this wedding, which was like a cool thing in a way that like trended for days and like ended up on news stories and all these things. And I would have originally, especially lying about when the date was and things so that people didn't show up, like... I would have thought I hated that. Mm-hmm. And it's odd that I actually sort of liked it because it was so overly positive for Danielle. I mean, the world loves her. And it was
you expected just the opposite, like, oh, no, she's so...
Or like, who's the accountant she's marrying? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but instead, it was very positive and it was nice to see people celebrate it. And it was, I don't know, a lot of surprises for me in the attention it got. John Mayer sang, which was like a big story for a day or two. Like those kind of things I normally would have hid from. And instead, I actually enjoyed seeing it out there.
That's nice.
Yeah.
What was the name you were given in one of the headlines where they were unclear as to the name of the groom?
Were you
Jensen Smith or something?
Clark.
Jensen Clark. Yes.
I got Jensen Clark. And then also my other favorite was the Daily Mail that wrote, Boy Meets World Danielle Fishel gets married, .. after 8 months of engagement. It's like,
ew.
Hot story. Hot tip, man.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, is that the hot story? Then there was also a couple that said John Mayer serenades Danielle Fishel at her wedding. And I was like, I there?
Right?
Like, did he do that behind my back?
A little creepy. We weren't going to tell you, Jensen.
Yeah, but it was very fun, and I appreciated the reaction to it. And also, just like, I loved the night. I thought it was really fun.
How many memes of Corey's going to be pissed have you gotten? I've gotten 700, and I work with you,
it's
so I can't even imagine.
It's not inventive.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, so there are some every once in a while that come in that I'm like, okay, at least that's a good joke.
Be witty.
Yeah, but the one of either that's not Corey, or the one of him ripping his shirt open that says like Topanga, like let's check in on Corey, and it's that.
Yeah,
those aren't funny. But there are ones that are very good.
Right.
Those are not them. Those two.
So cut it out, people.
Would you mind, Jensen, if I read the Bro Bible story from a week ago?
I didn't read it, so this will be my first time.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, you'll enjoy it very much.
Great.
Here's this dork. When B says that, you won't.
Also, for the record, if there's any website that is not on brand for me, it's Bro Bible.
Right. Yes.
So this
very
makes sense.
So.
Whatever.
I am not shocked you can't read it.
This is from 7 days ago, and it's written by a young man named Matt Keegan.
Okay. The Pulitzer Prize winning Matt Keegan.
And he says, here's the headline. Topanga Lawrence just got married, so please allow me to irrationally hate on her new husband to soften the blow.
that's actually very funny.
What is funny.
Yeah.
Jensen Karp could very well be the pinnacle of human evolution. He could adopt abandoned puppies in third world countries and not post to social media about it. He could be sinking his own money into finding a cure for childhood cancer. He could leave positive Yelp reviews. Jensen Karp cannot do enough good in this world to change my opinion on him, which is and will always be F him and the horse he rode in on that he saved from a sure death at a glue factory and is now using to teach horseback riding lessons to underprivileged children. Jensen Karp will never be able to overcome his one fatal flaw. He just married Topanga Lawrence and robbed me of a fantasy that I've had since I was wearing Hulk Hogan undies and wearing light-up sneakers. Topanga, known to her mother as Danielle Fishel, married the Karp on Sunday in Los Angeles at the swanky Carondelet house. So I think that's quite an endorsement there.
I mean, I enjoy it. And also, that's funny.
That's not very good.
Yes, I take back my jokes about Bro Bible.
Jensen is the head writer for Drop the Mic on TBS, which is emceed by Method Man and model Haley Baldwin. Well, la de effing da. Please join me as I do with all of my ex's new boyfriends, comb through their social media accounts and unfairly and irrationally judge them out of spite and missed opportunity.
Oh, he then roasts me picture by picture.
Then he goes on and like points out the, hey, Jensen, sweet jacket. What color is that? I've been on a beer bender for 2 weeks and haven't had a sip of water. Boom, roasted. I mean, he goes through your I got to send you the link.
This is incredible.
That's pretty good.
I love it.
See, this is funny, though.
Yes, that wins.
This one is funny.
Yeah.
I bet you did break a lot of hearts, though, from people who grew up thinking that it was going to be their job.
It would appear so. It would appear so. I never had watched the show growing up. I've only seen two episodes because she's shown me them recently. And we grew up together, so I just knew her as someone who was famous from my school growing up.
Right.
It was very sweet and very nice. I learned quickly that the world treats her as sort of a... everyone's childhood is defined by their first crush, it seems. Right. And she was many people's first crush.
I'm glad to hear that you only watched two episodes of Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
Because I'd watched none. Well, I was sitting at the table with the cast.
Yeah. Did they ask you? Like, did
not
it come
really.
Up?
Okay.
Was there a quiz?
I was able to just sort of, I'm going to get out of that conversation just because I don't want it to be embarrassing.
No, I don't think they expect. They always say they didn't think anyone was watching until now. Now they know people were watching because people. But back then they were like, no one knew who it was.
But I've never seen an episode either. But we're also not the right age to have grown up with that.
Correct. No, I hope not.
So I don't think you would expect us.
No, if not, you have a possible issue.
Yeah. Correct.
A little creepy. Yeah. A little creepy.
You need to notify the authorities.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad everything went well. And welcome back. You were missed. So
I appreciate it.
So it's good to see Jensen back.
Happy to be here.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach show, shall we?
You've crossed the line. This is a line you guys are unaware of, but you have crossed it.
Okay. Dr. Drew's on the show today like he is on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
We check on NFL Week 11 with RJ Bell from Vegas. We have Taron Egerton on the program today.
How about that?
From Robinhood.
Boy, no missteps in that kid's career.
Right?
Mm-mm. He knows what he's doing.
The King of Mexico hates everything about Thanksgiving.
It's so dumb.
It's
right?
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
He'll argue any part of it sucks. You can bring it. What about this? What about? No, bad. So we're talking about that today. Jensen's here with Get Up on This, and we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. Night 2 coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Take a 106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Monday Night Raw coming to Staples Center this Monday, November 19th. We got tickets you can win on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Also, passes to see Creed 2 in theaters and tickets to both nights of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. That's all coming up this morning on K-Rock. Hey, Allie, what's happening?
Hey, Bean. So remember yesterday we were talking about the new Netflix show that's going to be fall of 2019, Rhythm and Flow?
Yes.
Do you know about this, Jensen?
Yes, this is Chance and couple other people, right?
Cardi B and T.I.
Okay.
They are going to be judges. It's a hip-hop competition series. So it's essentially American Idol, but for hip-hop.
Yeah.
Were your ears ringing yesterday?
I did get a tweet that said you guys said I would be a good contestant on this.
Yes.
And I agree. A 40-year-old Jewish man would be great on this hip-hop show.
That's funny, and yet I think you would be.
All right.
I believe that's why Bean said it.
Okay.
You'd walk in, and they'd be like, who brought the accountant?
Yeah.
And then you'd just wow them.
It's the white men can't jump syndrome.
But then we also mentioned our own Muggos.
Yeah, I did. I know about Muggos.
You heard it? Yeah. Okay, amazing.
I mean,
right?
Everyone's heard it.
Is it all they were playing in Hawaii? You couldn't get away from it on the radio?
The pool, at the bars. It was everywhere. And the ad-libs he does are great.
Yes, yeah. Amazing. Well, the reason I bring it up is because Chance the Rapper in the news again. He's expanding into movies as the producer of an upcoming musical that's called Hope. The film will follow a group of Chicago teenagers who band together to turn art into action within their community. A writer from Empire is going to be writing and producing it, and Nico Siegel, who formed the hip-hop group Save Money with Chance and Vic Mensa, is going to oversee the music. So, all right, Chance the Rapper.
Yeah, movie guy.
Busy dude. I dig it. You guys, this is gross. But if you've ever wished you could wrap your loved one's gift with scented wrapping paper, Jimmy Dean has you covered.
All right.
The sausage maker is hosting what it calls the Jimmy Dean Recipe Gift Exchange. Basically, they give you free gifts that you can exchange for photos of dishes that you created from their featured sausage recipes. So you show them pictures of recipes that you've made with their food, and they'll give you a little gift, including sausage-scented wrapping paper.
Do you want extra sausage?
A glass Christmas tree ornament shaped like a package, like a Jimmy Dean sausage. So it just looks like a big old wiener on your tree, which is nice.
I'm happy with, your sausage meat any way you can get it.
Well, there you have it. So if you want to get in on that, just make basically a featured sausage recipe and send it in. What
nice
is happening?
Sausage.
Sausage-scented wrapping paper. So much meat. Oh, had her mouth full, apparently.
Right?
So much meat. Yeah. Guys, do we need
I deserve delicious sausage.
Okay. That's a lot of sausage, right?
A lot of drops.
Finally, we're getting a little more sausage at this party.
We got a lot of sausage audio if you ever need it.
I mean, let's hear more.
Because it's a sausage party, sausage party. We're having a sausage party.
Backstreet Boys there.
Wow.
Yeah. Really? A lot of people don't know that.
Taking a turn. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No way. Uh-oh, sausage.
Quite the folder.
I mean, really.
That was Pamela Anderson, by the way. From
Is
from
meat
the
on the menu this week?
Nice.
Yo, Ali, you want to play a game? All right, you be the Italian restaurant and I'll be the truck. Because I'm about to deliver the sausage.
That was Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't get
I need meat.
Wow, Kevin.
Well,
I mean, we were playing drops. No need to add your own right there.
Here's a sentence I never thought I'd say. But if you thought a sausage couldn't really hurt anyone, frankly, think again.
Oh, because he said frankly.
And that's when the sausage thing launched at that woman's face. No one wants that. No. I mean, unless you're into it.
Right.
Then I guess so. So
sausage tastes good.
Okay. MTV is set to revive Spring Break. Remember that show that they would do from a different Spring Break location?
Please. I know. I feel like Eric Nice just stood up and was like, hello? Like as soon as you say Spring Break, yeah, he gets out of his casket and he's ready to rock.
Well, this one will take place March 19th through the 21st at the Grand Oasis Hotel in Cancun, Mexico. So stay away from the Grand Oasis Hotel in Cancun, Mexico.
How about sausage?
Might be some musical performances, celebrity guests. And MTV also recently announced the purchase of Snow Globe Music Festival. That's the one, I believe, up in Tahoe, right? It's very cold and lots of musical artists.
And they're going to move that to Cancun?
No, that's going to be
a separate.
Still there.
Oh, so they're also going to do like a winter break.
Yeah, like a winter.
Snowed In or whatever it was called.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Dan Cortez, baby.
I feel like they're trying to get back to, you know, younger people watching MTV again. Like we all used to when we were young, when MTV played videos and did
DJs.
Fun shows. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wubba, wubba, wubba.
Was that Downtown Julie Brown?
Yeah.
Love it. Excellent.
I'm speaking to a certain person this morning.
Yes, you are. All right, some birthdays for you. Lily Aldridge, friend of the show, you guys.
She's awesome.
Beverly D'Angelo, and I bring her up because arguably the best Christmas movie. Right, Chip?
Yep.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, of course, in all the National Lampoon movies, and actress from The Descendants, The Fault in Our Stars, Divergent series, Big Little Lies, Shailene Woodley.
I read Shailene Woodley likes to go to a private area, open her vagina, let the sun in, and that's how she gets her glow.
Well, more power to her.
It's working. Coming up the next hour, your tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas in the 7 o'clock hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well said.
Thank you.
Hey, we have a voicemail line here 24/7 that you can call and leave a message at any time on any topic, and we encourage you to do so. It's the Kevin and Bean Afro line at 323-520-AFRO, and I understand the calls have been coming in hot.
They have, yes.
What's up, Kevin and Bean podcast listener here? I just listened to the Halloween episode and just learned the most amazing piece of information. So, Kevin, Bean, which one's going to do it?
Oh, no.
Roaming in the lab late one night, my eyes beheld a eerie sight.
Ooh, that was going to take off.
We can't let that happen, guys. We can't. And like you said at the beginning, Kevin, it's anarchy.
If the listeners
start doing it.
For those of you that don't know, for about 8 to 10 years, Bean and I, one of us would do that. The other had to start singing the Monster Mash. And that was just the thing that we did, and I don't know why.
And it was completely random at different times of the year. It kept coming out in August. It didn't matter when it was. You had to sing.
But now it's anarchy. The listeners are doing it.
Here in my car, not feeling safe at all. Driving in the 0 mile club in my car. Not sure how long my car will last. I have to go from Torrance to Long Beach on the 405. Oh, my God. Trying to stay calm. It is exhilarating. I have 0 miles to go. Will I make it?
Kevin is a cult leader who has convinced people, for some reason, that the thing to do is to drive when your needle is below zero in your car.
I don't think that makes me a cult leader.
It does. Well, Radeon Durf.
Radeon Durf.
I tried to do that with vodka. Oh, vodka, not a good idea.
So gargling vodka doesn't work?
Okay.
Let me make a note.
Good tip.
Hey, guys. I'm at the Cube game. I'm a little drunk. And I heard Kevin talking on the Fox Sports West. And tell you why, he sounds perfectly good now. And I'm drunk. Maybe because he, I don't know.
Right.
Maybe that's the answer to Kevin making sense, is you just got to be drunk and it all falls into
everybody
place.
Else needs to be drunk.
Right.
I like it.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine if Bean actually went as DJ Omar Khan to jury duty? I mean, just picture it. Just try to imagine it, you know? Hi, I'm DJ Omar Khan. Wicked, wicked.
I am willing to commit voter fraud and attend any jury as whoever wants me to, just so I can get on a jury.
You know, we're on the air, right? You just said that out loud?
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
Hi there. This is Kevin and Bean listener Mike, listening on radio.com. It's...
Okay. I was working in the lab late one night. Come on. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Podcast listener here. And I was wondering if I could get an instant request. Can I get a dolphin talking to Alf?
Oh, that's dolphin. A great idea.
Talking to Al.
Listen up, everyone.
New instant.
Make a request.
Instant request. Kevin and Bean.
Instant request.
No problem. I only know no problem, really. It's anarchy.
What's wrong with us?
I don't know. Come on, people.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Podcast listener here. Probably for an instant request.
Oh, no.
Featuring the dolphin and the queen.
Listen up, everyone.
New instant.
Make a request.
Instant request. Kevin and Bean's.
Instant request.
Stay away from me. My blood is royal. It's the best we got. Stop doing that.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, Afro Line. This is an instant request for Jigsaw talking to a dolphin.
Hey,
Steve.
Listen up, everyone.
New instant.
Make a request.
Instant request. Kevin and Bean's.
Instant request.
You want to play?
My mic broke. You want to play a game? Is that a no?
It was.
Okay. Now what? We've burned through all three of Kevin's impressions.
That's it. I'm
so
out,
good, though. So good.
Was it so
yeah.
good? Okay, 323-520-AFR 24 hours a day. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 7.
Our friend Jensen Karp is back from his honeymoon, and he will introduce us to something new in Get Up On This, coming up just after 7, like we do on Thursdays. Also, acoustic Christmas tickets that you can win, the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. Night number, what are we doing this time, 2?
We are doing...
I want to say two.
Yeah, we're doing two.
Coming up next half hour, and then we got to set Dave straight because he has some very wrong ideas about what you should be serving at Thanksgiving. And if you want to go to the Kevin and Bean Twitter poll, it has 1 hour left if you'd like to vote. He's giving you some choices on what you would like to be served as the main dish at Thanksgiving.
Do you see Dave as the kind of a person who could be dissuaded or persuaded?
No.
He'll never change his mind, no matter what.
No.
Yeah. Over half the respondents so far have picked turkey, by the way, as the appropriate main dish at Thanksgiving. You know why? Because they're goddamn Americans. I don't know what Dave is, but he's not a goddamn American, I'll tell you that. Anyway, you can cast your vote on the Kevin and Bean poll at Kevin and Bean on Twitter. All right, Allie, you're up. What's happening?
So, The Mandalorian. Of course, it's going to be on Disney Plus. We don't know exactly when, but the service launches the end of next year. It's the show that Jon Favreau is penning. So we know that it takes place after the fall of the Empire, before the emergence of the First Order, and will follow a, quote, lone gunfighter in the outer reaches of the galaxy, far from the authority of the New Republic. Well,
all right.
We know that Pedro Pascal is going to be starring in the series. You might know him from Game of Thrones, Narcos, you'd know his face. Trust me on that.
Okay.
We now know as well that Gina Carano has been cast in The Mandalorian. Does that name sound familiar?
She's the UFC fighter.
Big MMA fighter. She was 7-1, not bad, while competing in Strikeforce Elite XC as well. And she appeared in the 2008 reboot of American Gladiators. She starred in Steven Soderbergh's Haywire. She's been in Deadpool, Fast and the Furious 6. She's doing all right on the acting tip.
She's a butt biter.
I don't know if she's a butt biter. But the exact nature of the actress and former MMA star, her role, not yet known. It's being kept.
She's a farter and a racist.
I don't know if that will be her role. That would be quite an interesting casting choice, you know, Mandalorian. Oh, who do you play? I play the farter and the racist. Mm-hmm. Just seems like an odd choice. But there you have it, you guys. It's coming together.
All right.
Remember when we all found out that Disney was doing this, Disney Plus, and we were like, oh, do we need another streaming service? And then we found out all the shows that they're going to have and all the movies they're moving over, and we were like, yes, I do.
I think this is one I need.
Yeah.
She's insane.
I don't think we're saying that at all. Prince Charles, though, what's happening with that dude?
Now, wait, we were just talking about him yesterday on his 70th birthday.
His birthday, indeed. There's a new feature in Country Life magazine where it talks about Prince Charles. He thinks he's living in a Disney movie, is basically what this all boils down to.
Because he has been.
He's completely infatuated by the red squirrels that live around one of his estates in Scotland, so much so that he names them, allows them into the house, and just kind of plays with them.
Oh, he's gone bye-bye.
What's happening with Prince Charles?
I think Bean's right. He's gone bye-bye.
Yes.
They can't hand that man the crown.
Right?
Here's one of his quotes from this feature in Country Life. Sometimes when I leave my jackets on a chair with nuts in the pockets, I see them with their little tails sticking out and they hunt for nuts. They're incredibly special creatures.
Oh,
holy crap.
He's lost it.
Kind of starting to like him, aren't you? What's going on?
Unbelievable.
You guys. He's like Grandpa. Living like a Snow White type existence. Yeah.
Grandpa needs to be put in a home.
Oof.
By the way, didn't you do that story a couple of weeks ago about how much trouble they have with the carpets and everything like that at Buckingham Palace and where the dogs go and stuff?
Yeah.
I think letting squirrels into your house maybe is not the best idea.
Yeah,
to just run around.
That's not in the palace, though. Those were all stories about the palace. You could only walk on a certain part of the carpet because they didn't want to wear it down the middle.
Somebody had to put toothpaste on his toothbrush.
Exactly.
That kind of stuff.
This is all the squirrels that live around the Birkhall Estate in Scotland.
Oh, one of their other many estates.
Exactly.
Oh, right. Gotcha.
So that's Squirrel Town, apparently. Good Lord. Can you imagine you go to visit Prince Charles? You have like this big invite. You think it's going to be like amazing. You walk in. It's just overrun by red squirrels and he's chatting with them.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty awesome.
I got nuts in my pocket. It's just odd. And I kind of dig it. All right. Some birthdays for you. Lily Aldridge and Shailene Woodley. You got any fun singing?
Oh, you wanted that here, didn't you?
Yeah,
I sure do.
A little bit.
Sunshine on my
vagina
makes me happy.
It's a beautiful
that
song.
That is gorgeous.
Thank you. Thank you very much. In about 5 minutes or so, we'll open up the phones and give you a chance to join us for night number two of the K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018 show at the Forum December 9th with Florence and the Machine, Death Cab for Cutie, and so many more. First, though, Jensen, welcome back, sir.
Oh, thanks so much.
Jensen was gone on for his wedding and his honeymoon, and he has returned. We missed this feature last week. It is Thursday at about that time. It's time to get up on this.
Get up. Get on up.
On this.
Get up.
Well, this is a weekly segment where I get you up on something that you might not know about, something that hasn't yet hit the mainstream, or something that over the past few decades you didn't give enough attention to.
Mm.
And I'm ready to get you up on a YouTube channel.
Okay.
And, in essence, an international radio show that you should know about.
Okay.
And that is Like a Version, V-E-R-S-I-O-N. It is a segment on Australian radio station Triple J. It was created by Mel Bampton as part of the Mel in the Morning show, which normally I wouldn't promote a morning show, but I don't know if you're downloading the ABC Australian Broadcasting Center. But the better part is the segment was later moved to another show, a drive program, and then now on the breakfast show. Every week, a musician or band comes into the studio to play one of their own songs and cover a song they love, which is kind of like the BBC studio sessions.
Yeah.
But this is better.
And Spotify singles, too.
That's
same
right.
Thing.
This is the best one, though. They've been doing it since 2004. Many of your favorite artists have participated, including Lord, Childish Gambino, Tame Impala, Haim, Gang of Youth, Halsey, Arctic Monkeys, but even better, a ton of local artists participate in this one. So it's introduced me to some great new Australian bands and some international bands I had never heard of until this. But the coolest part is that all of these are on YouTube. So you
Fantastic.
Can go to YouTube and watch all of them. They've released also compilation albums of these covers. Some have been
I have
released.
Them all, I have them all, Jensen.
They're incredible, right?
Yeah, they're great.
They're the best. And some have been released as stand. I know, a little. I'm being like. and they have all been released as standalone singles as well recently. We'll play one of the more popular ones. I love this. Mm-hmm. This is very good. Also, they recently, over the past year, have really gotten into the production of it. So the videos are no longer just them sitting in a radio station. I know recently they put out Brockhampton did an Alicia Keys cover, and now it's a full performance in a sort of warehouse and everything. So they're stepping up their production, and for good reason. We're going to start with one that is a K-Rock almost acoustic Christmas performer. That was smooth, right?
Mm-hmm.
The performer is Churches, and this is covering Kendrick Lamar's Love.
Give me a run for my money. There is nobody, no one to outrun me. So give me a run for my money. Sipping bubbly, feeling lovely. Living lovely. Just like.
That's amazing.
That's lovely.
So good. So good. And it basically every time I think like based on like the BBC one or the Spotify, they pick, I think, more challenging songs for the Australian station. Like I feel like they kind of up their ante a bit and bring their A game. That is heard here with another absolute almost acoustic Christmaser, Billie Eilish, who's covering Michael Jackson's Bad.
I'm giving you on a count of three to show your stuff or let it be. Cause I'm telling you just watch your mouth. I know your game, what you're about. But they say sky's the limit, and to me that it's really true. But my friend, you've seen nothing, so just wait till I get through. Because I'm bad, I'm bad. Come on.
Love that so much.
Yeah, guys, it's always good.
I like when they don't do direct copies. They make it their own and change it completely. I love
it's
that.
It's so good. And as a radio nerd myself, I think they're doing really great stuff in Australia. Here's another one. Flume featuring Kai Kukka and Vince Staples covering Ghost Town DJ's My Boo.
What?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Yeah, it's all good. And that's a single. You can download that anywhere, iTunes, Spotify. You can get that song. Flume, awesome. That's a great cover. But then German folk group that I had no idea about. So this is an example of one of the ones that show up, and I had never heard of them. Mm-hmm. And you get introduced to them by a cover, which I love. And then you look into their own music, and you're like, ah, I love this group. This is a good example of it. This is Milky Chance doing Nelly Furtado's I'm Like a Bird.
Wow.
Yeah, here it is.
So you never ever fail. not for sure. That I won't give the chain. And I'm a lover's band. And I'm a lover's dude.
Did you say this is an album?
Well, they make compilation albums that you can buy through, I think, Amazon, but they're imports and stuff, exports, things that we used to buy when we were at Tower Records as kids for $38 because it had Prince's picture on it. they have those, but you can also download these. They're all on YouTube as well. It's just Like a Version, V-E-R-S-I-O-N, from Triple J Radio in Australia. I could not recommend it more. It is awesome, and that is my Get Up On This.
Get up, get on up on this.
Get up.
All right, we have tickets for the Almost Acoustic Christmas Night, too.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Absolutely do.
Yes, we do. If you'd like to call now, 1-800-520-1067. We have tickets for Night 2. Do we need to give any clues here?
I don't think so. Okay. Just, you know, the more you know about these artists, Florence and the Machine, Death Cab for Cutie, Bastille, Mike Shinoda, Billie Eilish, Young the Giant, Church's Mike Poster, and Lovely the Band, maybe that'll give you a little bit of an edge. But if you're a fan, call now. 1-800-520-1067. We'll play. All right, this is the first pair of tickets we have for this morning for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. We'll do another pair at 9 a.m. But right now, it's night number two. You can win right now with a game that we like to call Such Big Liar.
You want tickets to Acoustic Christmas. What you desire. All you have to do is let us know.
Such Big Liar. Oh! Jensen, why is this game called Such Big Liar?
Well, we're going to take some artists who are performing at Absolute Acoustic. Oh, Jesus.
We'll put that up over there on a piece of paper.
I mean, someone's got to put it under my eyeballs if possible. But smash that Absolute button is what I'm saying. And listen, we have a bunch of artists. We're going to give you facts about them. Two of those facts are lies.
Such Big Liar.
One of them is true. You have to tell us which one is true.
All right.
Oh, all right. That sounds easy enough. Mm-hmm. Who's our first contestant, Kevin?
First up is Joe from Canoga Park.
Good morning.
All right, Joe, you understand the concept here. Kevin is going to go first. He is going to give you three facts about one of the artists playing night number two. And
okay.
one of them is true. You identify the true one.
Got it.
We say the artist, right? Just to make sure before I go.
That's right.
All right. This is Mike Shinoda. Shinoda's mother encouraged him to take classical piano lessons when he was only six. In 2004, Linkin Park worked with Kanye in a collaboration album called Collision Course. Even though Mike had no training, he does the artwork for all of his albums.
I'm going to go with the first one.
The first one. Shinoda's mother encouraged him to take classical piano lessons when he was six is correct.
Hey!
Yeah.
Nicely
done.
Done,
Joe.
Second one was Jay-Z.
Thank you.
And the third one, he went to the Art Center College of Design in Pasadena.
Yep.
All right, so he is in the drawing. Joe is one step closer to being America's Next Top Model.
I don't think that's how it works.
Mm-hmm. All right, to win the ticket. Sorry, yes.
Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Jennifer, your question is going to be about Florence and the Machine. Now, Florence obviously refers to the lead singer, Florence Welch. Who or what does the machine refer to? Is it, number one, a metaphor? We're all just cogs in the big old machine of life. Is it, number two, Florence often runs barefoot all across the stage while she performs, so the machine is a treadmill, and that stage is her treadmill? Or is it, three, just a private joke with her friend Isabella Summers, and she used to call her Issa Machine?
I'll go with the first one.
Ah, the cog in the big old machine of life. No, it's a teenage collaboration with her friend Isabella Summers, who she calls Isabella Machine Summers. She's the keyboardist in her band.
Wah, wah.
Oh,
thank
sorry,
you, Jennifer.
Oh, that's Such Big Liar.
Oh, right. You're such a big liar.
Right?
Sorry.
Let's go to Mario in Los Angeles. Hi there.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Mario. Smash that Absolute button. This one is about Billie Eilish. Here we go.
Okay.
You ready? Eilish's first brush with Hollywood came when she was cast as a baby in the Tom Hanks movie The Terminal. Eilish's first song, written when she was 11, was zombie-themed and inspired by The Walking Dead. Or, during her last U.S. tour, Eilish traveled with a vintage cotton candy machine and nacho cheese bar for every after party. Which one of those is true?
I'm going to go with the cotton candy and nacho cheese bar.
Oh, no, no, no. It's that Eilish's first song, written when she was 11, was zombie-themed and inspired by The Walking Dead. That was true. Everything else is false. I am such a big liar.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
By the way, 11. She wrote it when she was 11.
Yeah, she's a real talent.
That? Yeah. Derek in La Mirada, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Hey, Derek, only Joe is in the running to win the tickets. Let's see if you can join him. I'm giving you some fun facts about Bastille. Two will be false. One will be true. Your job is to tell us which one is the true one. Lead singer Dan Smith from the band was born in France, which is why the band takes its name from Bastille Day, the French holiday on July 14th. That's fact number one. Number two, although the band worked with DJ Marshmello on their current hit song Happier, they never saw Marshmello without his giant marshmallow head. That's fact number two. Number three, Dan is such a fan of David Lynch that one of the first songs the band ever recorded was named Laura Palmer after the character from Twin Peaks. Which is the true fact?
I'm going to go with number one.
Number one, that he was born in France. That's why they're called Bastille. No, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Although his birthday is on Bastille Day, which has something to do with why July 14th. That's why that inspired the name of the band. But the true one is they did, in fact, write and record a song called Laura Palmer because they were such big Twin Peaks fans. I'm sorry. I am such a big liar, but you did not win.
Oh, that's such a big liar.
All right. Hold 1 second. Let's go to John in Manhattan Beach. Hi, John. Hello, John. John's gone.
Okay. Like John's a little bit of a speed bump here on this game.
Let's go to Allie in San Gabriel.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hey, Allie.
Hey.
Your question is going to be about Death Cab for Cutie. How did Death Cab for Cutie get their name? Was it, number one, a near-death experience in a New York City cab when a drunk college co-ed grabbed the wheel and they nearly crashed into a cafe? Is it, number two, they got it from a song performed by 60s band Bonzo Dog Duda? Or is it, number three, a guy named Steve?
I'm going with number two, Bonzo Dog Duda.
It is indeed by a 60s band, Bonzo Dog Duda, that had a song, Death Cab for Cutie. Well done.
Nicely done.
Did not know that.
I didn't either. It's so weird. I thought no one would get that because it's so bizarre. Bonzo Dog Duda.
We only have time for one more contestant, I'm sorry to say, guys. And so far, we only have two people in the drawing for the tickets.
All right, let's go to Kendall in Mission Viejo. Hi, Kendall.
Hi.
All right, yours is Young.
Hi.
Hi, hi. This is Kevin. Yours is Young the Giant. The band was formed in 2000. The band was formed in 2004 in Irvine and started with the name Jake the Giant. Cough Syrup appeared on the band's 2008 Shake My Hand EP and received regular airplay from K-Rock's Cat on Locals Only. After playing the Great Escape Festival in Brighton, Robert Smith told a fan that Young the Giant was one of his favorite new bands. Which one of those is true?
I'm going to go with, two.
Right. Two is correct. Nicely done.
That's such a big liar.
Well done.
She was totally just guessing, but it worked out for you. All right. Is it Joe? Is it the good Allie? Or is it Kendall? Who is going to win tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Christmas 2018 night number two?
It's the good Allie.
Hey. The good Allie. Congratulations, Allie.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We will see you at night number two, and thanks for playing the game.
Whoa, 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 such big liar.
Oh, that's such big liar.
Yeah. This man's a monster.
Oh, it's too late.
Yeah.
It's too late for Halloween spooks. I don't know what you're doing.
Thanksgiving, ooh, Thanksgiving.
Okay. All right.
Turkey things are going to happen.
Turkey things are going to happen, Dave.
Right. Gobble, gobble. Okay. We don't have time for that. We have to get to the monster.
Cooks. Outside my window, Thanksgiving cooks behind the tree. I wish the pilgrims could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And it's Thanksgiving cooks outside my window, please.
You'll notice that it's a turkey that is mentioned in Thanksgiving Spooks. You know why? Because turkey is the centerpiece of an American Thanksgiving meal, as it has been for hundreds of years in this country. Dave is poo-pooing turkey for Thanksgiving.
Let's give you an overview, though.
Okay.
Dave hates all things Thanksgiving. All things.
Yeah.
So this is just one of the items that he hates, which is turkey.
Let's not say all things. I like football. Football's fun on Thanksgiving.
It's not a Thanksgiving thing, though.
I like the cold air that's on Thanksgiving usually.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. Foundation of Thanksgiving. Cold air.
Right. So there's a couple of things that I like about Thanksgiving.
But the centerpiece of Thanksgiving is the meal. That's the focus of the day, is friends and family get together around a big table if they're lucky enough to be able to be with people and have a feast. Sure, that's what it's all about.
Because you never see your family. Oh, my God. Yeah. All right. Cool. Let's all get together for a dinner. Okay, here's the problem, Bean. The family thing, fine, sure. You know, maybe you don't
see. Dave sits at a table of one. I think that's the problem.
Maybe you don't see some family members who you probably do not want to see anyways, you know, once a year. And then, you know, when you get together, you start arguing over different things. And then what happens? They serve you dinner. And then everyone's like, all right, cool, we're going to eat now. And then what do you get to eat? You get to eat some crappy turkey.
Explain why you think turkey is crappy.
Have you tasted it?
Yes. Turkey is genuinely great.
How often do you eat turkey?
I eat turkey. Well, are we talking about like a carved turkey? Or are we saying Jimmy John's turkey sandwich?
No, I'm talking about turkey that's served like...
I eat it
like,
twice. Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Ugh, you're a monster.
And it's always wonderful.
It's always wonderful.
No, it's not. You guys...
I don't eat pumpkin pie all year long, but I still love it.
Yeah. Pumpkin pie's pretty good.
And stuffing, gotta talk about that.
And stuffing I only eat a couple times.
True.
And it's tremendous.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But yeah, that's why it's only served once a year.
Because it's tremendous?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
By the way,
that's why it's only served once a year, right?
Most of the time there can be two different meats, like there's ham or something else if you don't like turkey.
Most of the time that's the thing. Because ham is good, so you should serve ham, right? But, you know, I threw out the Twitter poll yesterday to the Kevin and Bean listeners. Uh-huh. And,
I'm sure it was worded evenly.
No, it was straightforward.
Do you like ham or garbage turkey?
Right.
Exactly. I smashed that button.
I just asked, you know, if you had a choice, what would you serve? And the options were turkey, ham, chicken, or roast beef. And, you know, 58% was turkey because 58% of people can't think for themselves. Now, the listeners
put up a poll. Yes. And turkey won, you're completely discounting it because everybody that voted for it is wrong.
Yes, because they're lambs. Okay. They're sheep.
The sheep. He thinks we've been directed to like turkey.
Yeah, exactly. You're falling into – you're conforming to the man.
Oh, the man told us turkey's good.
Huh. Yes. Okay, let me stop you right there, Dave, and ask this question. Is there anything wrong with turkey being a tradition for the holiday, much like most of us don't eat popcorn? Except when we go to the movies.
Good one.
They go together. Popcorn and going to the movies go together. Turkey goes together with Thanksgiving. What's wrong with that?
Do you not make popcorn at home in your microwave?
I do not.
Oh, wow. You're the only one. Because
I don't either.
Oh,
I have a bunch of liars.
None of us do. You guys are more liars now because we don't.
You guys are monsters.
You know what else? I don't know. I like candy canes. I only eat them in December.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a season. It can be a seasonal item and be great. There's nothing wrong with that. And you don't have it in July doesn't mean turkey at the end of November isn't fantastic.
And I bet you celebrate Columbus Day as well, Bean.
I'm lost now.
Because, you know, the school's taught you.
Were you in the debate team in high school?
Yes, I was.
Okay. There's no way you were on the debate team.
Yeah, I was state
no
champ.
Way.
California State champ, 1991.
Nice. Yeah.
Dave, we don't have much time here, but where are you going to be and what are you going to be doing a week from today on Thanksgiving?
I will be with my family. And
you've already said people show up that you hate.
Yeah. No, I don't hate any of my family members. I just see them a lot, so it's nothing special. I will avoid the turkey, but, you know, the Kevin and Bean listeners gave us an alternate option, which I think everyone should adopt, and it is tamales. Tamales are the greatest food item
in the world. I love tamales,
too,
but I don't think of tamales when I think of Thanksgiving.
Exactly. Nor would you, because it's not you're not used to it. But if you introduce it to your family, everyone will love it, and everyone will enjoy it more than turkey, and then everyone will have a good day, and then we all enjoy Thanksgiving.
Do you know how time-consuming making tamales is, as opposed to just throwing a bird in the oven.
And here's why this is awesome, because you could buy them.
Well, you can buy everything. What are you talking about? Yes.
No, I'm raising my turkey. And I'm out there just petting it, making sure it's well-fed. Dave, you're the worst.
We didn't even get
to,
like, guys, the turkey takes, like, 12 hours to make.
The debate champ is back. He did it. Turkey is bad. I've been turned around.
Of Mexico.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
It is week number, what do you think, 11?
11.
Maybe in the NFL? Yes, RJ Bell, founder of pregame.com, is going to be joining us just after the top of the hour to talk about the odds and how you should bet for this weekend's games. And then the enormously talented actor, Taron Egerton, is going to be joining us.
Can't wait.
He's got the Robin Hood next week, and then he's got the Elton John movie next summer, both of which look amazing, and he is delightful. So Taron joins us coming up as well. Allie's here now. Time for What's Happening on this Thursday.
Bean, you had the same reaction as I did when I saw this story yesterday. I thought, well, this is the Onion. People are running with an Onion story. It has to do with action hero Jack Reacher. Jack Reacher is getting a reboot, maybe going to Netflix. It's definitely going to a small screen. But they're no longer going to use Tom Cruise as the lead.
He was going to say, lead. I thought he was, yeah.
Yeah, in 2012, he was the lead in the original one, made $218 million worldwide, positive reviews. 2016 sequel, not so good. Jack Reacher, Never Go Back, grossed only about $162 million. But it's not for that reason that they're not using Tom Cruise. The man that wrote the books that these movies are based on just says, well, the fact is, Tom Cruise is just too short.
Really?
Yes.
Isn't he one of the biggest box office stars of all time?
Yes.
Especially when it comes to action.
Yes.
So insane.
In his books, Reacher is described as 6'5", with hands the size of dinner plates.
Okay.
Tom Cruise, this article says he's 5'7". Oh, come on.
What?
What are you saying right
come
there?
On.
Please. You knew he was 6'5" back in 2012 when you did the movie. You certainly knew he was 6'5" when you did the sequel in 2016.
And the lesser of those two made $160
million. $162
million. That's crazy.
It's all very odd. But people had complained about Cruise not being the imposing man that he should have been, like they read in the books.
That's ridiculous, because way more people saw the movies than read the books.
100%. But the author says, ultimately, the readers are right. The size of Reacher is really, really important. It's a big component of who he is.
So Brad Garrett?
Brad Garrett will now be Jack Reacher. Isn't that...
That's weird.
Isn't that cuckoo?
Yeah, that sounds like they made up that excuse for something else.
Like Tom Cruise was like, listen, this character blows.
Maybe.
I don't want to be in it.
Maybe, or the other way around.
I don't know.
I don't know.
If you can get Tom Cruise in your movie, get Tom Cruise in your movie.
That's what I think.
I would think.
And he was good in both of the other ones.
It's so weird to me. He's just too short. he just started being short. Although they do say that you do shrink as you get older.
But that much?
No, not even a little bit. It's all very bizarre. Hey, you guys, guess who's getting his own star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame on November 19th?
Can I guess?
Yep.
Is it Snoop Dogg?
It is Snoop Dogg.
Yay!
Did you know that?
Of course he did.
I saw something about that.
Right. Yeah, he's being recognized in the recording category, and he's going to receive the 2,651st star on Hollywood Boulevard right in front of Jimmy Kimmel Live, and Jimmy Kimmel will be on hand to honor Snoop.
That is well-deserved.
Absolutely. That is all going down again on November the 19th, so congratulations.
Sipping on gin and juice, laid back with my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
I mean, he's still got it.
He still has it, you're right.
Well, that was Alex Trebek, you guys.
Oh.
Jeopardy, that wasn't Snoop.
So
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Trebek is getting a star?
Yes, okay. As Snoop Dogg.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a character. You didn't know that this whole time. Didn't. Snoop Dogg has been played by Alex Trebek.
How about that?
You guys, this story, I have a lot of feelings about it. So a Washington State couple who describes themselves as, quote, crazy head over heels cat people, they replaced their traditional cocktail hour at their wedding with something called a kitten hour. During that hour, guests were allowed to hold, cuddle, and play with kittens. And here's what Colleen, the bride, said.
We love our cats very much and wanted to bring a little of their spirit to the celebration. We want a guest to have something to do during family picture time. And I thought, okay, well, they really like cats. Until the next sentence. And we were also too broke to have a cocktail hour. Well, lead with that. We're right. Too damn broke and cheap to have cocktails, so here's a furry kitten. Play with a little kitty cat. Sure, you want to be drunk right now, but aren't you having fun playing with a cat?
I think most people would sort of understand that. You go, okay, you don't have money for that. That's okay.
We get it. Yeah. Not a big deal.
But bring dogs, is my point.
Bring dogs. Right. Absolutely. I just thought that was so funny. By the way, the six kittens came from this Seattle Animal Center, and guests loved the idea. Colleen said, lots of people told us that every wedding should have a mandatory kitten hour. And an open bar, Colleen.
Right.
We get it.
Did they just borrow these kittens,
yes.
Or did they adopt them all?
Nope. They borrowed them. But I'm sure it also led to a lot of people that maybe didn't realize how much they loved cuddling cats to then say, we should adopt a cat. And then they adopt a cat.
Or the opposite of that.
Or they're like, this blows. Right. Where's the booze and dogs? That might have happened. You guys, speaking of booze, do you ever buy wine just because the label is pretty or it's got kind of a cool name?
I don't like wine, so I don't buy it, but most products, yes.
Yeah. Well, different wine labels, like you look at a bottle, you're like, that is gorgeous. I'm going to get it. I don't know what it tastes like. Well, if I saw this label, I'm buying it.
Okay.
But a lot of people on social media are a little concerned that maybe this company didn't understand what they were doing. This is a bottle of wine that features images of four apples overlapping each other vertically, and the wine is called Four Skins.
I'm buying that immediately.
I need it so bad. So somebody posted a picture to the Twitter account, you had one job, and they wrote, you sure you want to call it that?
That's funny.
And then it sparked this debate over whether it was intentional or a very awkward mistake. Of course it was intentional. That's brilliant. Right?
I don't know.
Four Skins.
I understand, but I'm saying I'm not positive they did.
Really?
Look, somebody involved in the process
somebody knew. Okay,
had
yeah.
to catch the pun.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, that's true.
I hope so. Otherwise, oh, bless their hearts, right? Sweet little spirits.
If they didn't know it. Why is everybody yelling at us?
Flying off the shelves. They're like, we really made great wine. Yes, you did, Foreskins. Yes, you did. Oh, I love it so much. All right, some birthdays for you. Lily Aldridge as well as Shailene Woodley. Shailene Woodley.
Oh, you want it again? I didn't know you wanted it again.
Oh, my God. It's only two birthdays.
Sunshine on my
vagina
makes me happy.
I say we play that every hour.
Absolutely.
Okay. Once again, very excited. Actor Taron Egerton is going to be joining us coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock from the new Robin Hood film opening everywhere Wednesday. But first, though, it's one of our favorite segments of the whole week. Hit it, Steve.
Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
RJ Bell is the founder of pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. He's given us some football picks over, what are we in, season four, season five? Where are we so far here, RJ?
Season five.
Season five. Season five with a winning record. Last week, 1-2, not great, still at 50% for the season. Still got some room to go to make this a winner again this year, RJ.
I know. And listen, history tells us it's going to happen. So I'm super confident. And oh, by the way, I just want to say, I don't know if this is manly or not, but when the song was just on, I was waving my hands above my head. So
in the air like you just don't care?
Exactly. So judge it if you want.
I would like to just say this, too, about your picks, is that it's easier to pick a winner or loser than it is against the line.
Oh, well, listen.
Here, so what you're trying to do is pretty difficult.
And what we've done, right?
Exactly.
And that's the thing is, gambling, sports betting especially, for 97% of people, and that's the stat, they lose money. As long as you're betting an amount that's recreational, no problem. The danger, guys, is when people think they're pro-level and they're not. Be careful.
Right. Okay, fair enough. Well, let's start with this week's picks. The Big Dog Pick is a game that has received not only national but international attention. Why don't you bring folks up to speed with why the Kansas City Chiefs are in L.A. playing the Rams this weekend?
Yeah, so one of the big games of the season, especially as these teams played so well. The Rams, one of the best teams in the NFL. Kansas City, one of the best teams in the NFL in Mexico City. Now, the NFL has grand aspirations about going global, and this game has been a marquee game, this annual Mexico City game, on top of the multiple London games. But then there were field issues, issues where, hey, this isn't a playable field, so they decided to actually move the game back to L.A., so a home game for the Rams. But boy, is there a lot of complexity here. One, who gets the tickets? Because this isn't a typical home game, so the season ticket holders are not getting the tickets automatically. They have a chance to buy them.
Oh.
Also talk that they're going to donate a lot of tickets to the firefighters and the different responders helping with the fires. Now, that's a wonderful thought, but how does that affect the game? Meaning, is it going to be Rams fans, or is it going to be just casual football fans, thus maybe less of a home field advantage? Another complexity. The coach for the Rams is brilliant, McVay. We call him the young genius, the boy genius. He really is a smart, modern coach.
I call him McVay.
Well, there you go. See, well, yeah. It's a whole different it's a whole different thing there. But the fact of the matter is, his intelligence might have messed the Rams up here. They had already traveled to Colorado to get ready at altitude. Remember, Mexico City is high altitude, so they were getting ready for that, and now they're going to have to come back. So it's a home game. They're going to travel halfway across the country and back to play. So you add all that up on top of the Rams and all of the energy the Fires took up last week, rightfully so, but still affecting the game. I love, and it's my first pick, the Chiefs plus 3.5 points in that game.
Wow. Okay, there's a lot of exposition going behind that pick. Your best bet is going to be the Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears playing. How about that?
Well, I thought in L.A. we'd give it a little extra color, you know, for the fans.
Sure. No, it's good info.
We'll make this one short. Bears, Vikings. Bears are favored by 2.5 at home. We like the underdog Vikings in this game. Listen, the Bears have exceeded expectations, no doubt about it. But they've had an easy schedule. And also great coaching. Their coach Nagy's been great. Another young, good coach. But Minnesota has maybe the most underrated coach in football, Zimmer. He is not going to get out-coached by the Bears, which is a big disadvantage for the Bears. Also, Minnesota, you remember the Minneapolis Miracle went to the NFC Championship game against Philly. They haven't had quite that same quality year, but it's been a lot about injuries. Now, though, off a bye, the Vikings are healthy. So our best bet of the week, second pick, Minnesota plus 2.5.
This is the twice in 1 week you're giving us a pick on the Seattle Seahawks. You were right last week with plus 10 at the Rams. This week they're playing Green Bay Packers on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, big game. Early pick here on Thursday. Love Seattle again. Line in this game is only 2.5 against the Packers. One of the things we talk about, home field advantage is typically 3. So even if Seattle just had a typical home field, then it would be saying Green Bay's better than Seattle. I don't really think they are, but then you add in Seattle has the best home field advantage in the NFL when it's a high intensity game, when the crowd is enthused. Here's one way we measure that. As long as Seattle's not favored by a touchdown or more, we figure competitive game, right? Last 7 years, home games that are competitive for Seattle, they've covered the Vegas spread. Seattle has 73% of the time. Think about that. That's a winning percentage. It's even tougher on the road on Thursday. And remember, this is Green Bay's third road game in 4 weeks. They've traveled a ton. It's a tired team on short rest. We're going to go with Seattle, favored by 2.5.
All right, those are your picks from RJ Bell this week. The big dog, Kansas City Chiefs, +3.5 over the Los Angeles Rams. Best bet, Vikings, +2.5 over the Bears. Seattle Seahawks, -2.5 over the Green Bay Packers. RJ's Dream Preview is the podcast available on iTunes. They do NFL episodes and college as well. And don't forget, the daily radio show is Straight Out of Vegas with RJ Bell. 3 to 4 on the Fox Sports Radio Network. It's really the only... How do you describe it? The only national sports betting show, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's the only show dealing with sports betting that's on a national network. We're on 200 stations on Fox.
All right. Congratulations. Pregame.com and on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Have a great week, sir. We'll talk to you just before Thanksgiving next Wednesday. Thanks, RJ.
Thank you, guys.
Because he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
It's not your dad's Robin Hood. It's not your grandpa's Robin Hood. It's not your great-great-great-grandfather's Robin Hood. It's our Robin Hood. And it opens up in theaters everywhere on Wednesday, November the 21st. And Robin Hood himself, Taron Egerton, in studio with us now on the Kevin Hood Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome.
Taron,
it's great to meet you.
No, it's great to be here with you. Thank you so much for making the time.
We've been doing the show for a long time, and
like
I've never seen...
Like, we made the time.
No, you do. It goes both ways, so thank you.
I've never seen Allie more excited about a guest and have her say to me, oh, I'm going to ask him about this. Oh, I need to know about this. Yeah. Oh, I got to tell him this. I feel like you've been cribbing for this like it's a Supreme Court justice hearing or something, Allie.
I was obsessed with Kingsman. Yeah. Like, it was just my absolute favorite. Uh-huh. And then when you were cast in Elton John, I was like, are you kidding? Of course he was.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
But I also led the charge, whether you wanted to do the movie or not, for you to have been Han Solo.
Yes.
And I was out of my mind about that for a good 3 months on the air.
Yeah.
I basically threatened Disney.
Right. Yeah. That was a funny old time. I think what happened was... I had some reservations about it, and I think...
You made the right decision?
Well, no, I don't know. I haven't seen it, and it's because it's slightly painful, but a huge part of me really wanted to do it, and then a big part of me was worried about doing it as well, because I think what I arrived at in my mind was that nobody's playing that role but Harrison Ford, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I have faith in my own abilities, but I don't have faith in my abilities to the point that I feel like I can live up to the biggest movie star of all time, you know? So I kind of bowed out of that
race. Same with me, man.
Yeah,
I was like,
so similar.
I was like,
you're so close, Jensen.
So close. But then I decided at the last minute, I was like, I'm going to do this Alf movie. Yeah. So I'm ready for that. Yeah.
But the guy they got an amazing, amazing actor.
I wound up falling in love with him. Halfway through the movie, I was like, all right.
He's awesome.
I'm fine.
He's awesome.
Yeah,
so,
he was great.
But Taron, explain the difference to me then. So I understand your reservations on walking in Harrison Ford's shoes, but then to play Elton John, which is another decision. This is a guy who we all know as well as anybody are growing up our whole lives.
Well, I guess in some respects, although, you know, people have kind of portrayed him in small, you know, clips and things, like I know Justin Timberlake played him for This Train Don't Stop Here Anymore, but no one had played that role before, and I felt that something of my skill set would lend itself to portraying him, because I sing a little bit.
A little bit.
Also, the costume designer said this to me when we first started. He said, you're right for this because you're feisty but fragile. And I feel there's probably some truth in that. So, I instinctively felt that was one to try and pursue and make happen. Yeah.
We were talking a little bit earlier before you came in about the fact that you make great choices. It seems like every single thing you pick is good.
Well, that's very kind of you.
It has to be difficult.
Yeah, I mean... I try and choose things for variety, and I try and choose things because I think I will enjoy the process of making them. But also, you kind of want to think that, you know, in 40 years' time, when I look back on the ride, that I can see a chronology that makes sense and I understand why I made decisions and didn't do things for the right decisions. So it's very, very lovely that you think that, and I'm grateful.
It's because you haven't been offered enough money to do a terrible movie yet.
Yeah, no, I'd say any day now, maybe. As soon as someone dangles that one, all the integrity will fly out of the window.
We call those a house payment.
Right. Exactly.
Let me go back to Elton for 1 second, because I want you to share with our listeners the story I saw you share on Kimmel last night, which is how you spent your birthday weekend, and how it involves Elton John. Because this is talk about the number 29 has got to be your best birthday memory ever, I would imagine.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it was kind of amazing. I arrived in New York on Friday night to start promoting Robin Hood, and obviously I've just finished this other movie about Elton, and he and I have gotten to know each other a bit, and I went to his concert with his husband and my family. And he dedicated a song to me and also the director of the film.
Wow.
And it was Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, and it was very, 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 very moving. And yeah.
How strange is it to say the words, I know him?
Yeah, it is strange. It's even weirder when an email pops up on my phone from him. It's like, you know, you just don't think of Elton John tapping away emails on his phone.
No, you don't at all. You know?
If I got that, I'd think it's like one of those African kings asking me for millions of dollars.
Exactly, exactly.
Those scam ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Does he ever type out LOL or any emojis?
No, but you get the impression he types, you know, his mind works at a million miles per hour, and he's very high energy and high levels of enthusiasm, and you sort of get that impression in his emails sometimes.
Is it difficult to play somebody who's still alive and still that crazy vibrant?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know how difficult it is. I guess what you try and do is you try and dial up the natural characteristics you have that lend themselves to him.
So, right.
So you know, there's definitely a tempestuous side to me.
Sure.
And there's definitely a side to me that feels the injustices in things quite acutely, which I think is very Elton. But I also hope that there's something vulnerable in me and something of the big kid in me, and I think that's very Elton.
Did he ever pull you aside and go, hey, why don't you play it this way?
No, he didn't. He's really given me freedom and license and always been very, very supportive. Sometimes I would send him recordings of the songs because it's a musical and I sing it all myself. So I would send him things, and sometimes he would have thoughts about that. But, I mean, thoughts that were always couched, you know, very kindly and very nicely, and
it's not as terrible as it could have been, that sort of thing.
No,
he doesn't have to be that nice.
No, he doesn't have to be that nice, and I think it speaks to who he is, actually. He's a wonderful man.
You knew him already, obviously, from the Kingsman 2, so it wasn't as intimidating to meet him, you know, when you were talking about this project. But did that get together back on that movie, did that have some impact on how you got cast for it? Like, did he see you there and go, hey, I like that bloke?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, there was a bit of that, yeah. Weirdly, I knew about the existence of that project for a long time before, and had kind of emailed my agents and said, because Tom Hardy was originally attached to do it, and I said, look, is Tom still going to do this movie? Because if not, I'd love to throw my name into the ring. It was a little audacious of me, actually, because I wasn't really, I'm still not anyone really.
But if Tom Hardy's
really
there,
wasn't anyone
if Tom Hardy's there, you don't even try?
Yeah, exactly. and then, funnily enough, a year later, Matthew Vaughn came around and said, look, I'm thinking of getting into this project. How do you feel about playing Elton? And it was kind of felt fated, really. And yeah, the rest is history, as they say.
All right, last question before we have to take a break with our guest here in Edgerton. And then we want to talk all about Robin Hood after the break. And that is, you also said something else in an interview recently where you talked about how you had to shave your head in order to do all the various Elton hairstyles that you have throughout the
years. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
now, is it growing back okay? Because you will not take that hat off.
No, I mean, I might give you a little sneak peek, but
I'm just concerned.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's growing back. I mean, it was kind of a week and a half ago I shaved it, I think.
Guys, he could be Sideshow Bob. Girls are going to love the dude. He can't ugly himself up,
right?
I have to say, I quite like the look. The hat thing is just something that I'm really enjoying. It's not something I've done
It's
before.
Odd, though, that you're holding the headphones on the side of your head because you don't want to take the hat off.
Well, I just think
it's
looks
good.
It's
a good
look. It does
it's
look good.
Look.
Yeah. Look cool.
Let the man live.
But we're also on radio. Just want to point that out.
Yeah, it's okay. True. All this good. Is true.
No, but you never we're looking at him.
You never want to compromise the look, do you?
Sure. That's right. Jared is the coolest guy in the room. There's no question
by far. Yeah.
Robin Hood opens in theaters next Wednesday, November 21st. We'll talk all about that. And I know Allie has a bunch of other questions for Jared when we return right after this on Kevin. Our guest in studio is the actor Taron Egerton here on The Kevin and Bean Show. We are delighted to have you, Taron. Do you need tea or anything or water?
Do you know? I've just absolutely guzzled a black coffee. I mean, if there's enough.
So you're good.
I think I'm good. If I have another one too shortly afterwards, I'll get jittery and overexcited. Mm-hmm.
Start bouncing off the walls.
I'll start bouncing off the walls, and my hat might fall off, and
no,
we can't have that.
No,
we can't have
exactly.
That.
Exactly. No.
Kevin gave you a compliment in that you have you've seemed to have unerring taste in the film projects that you have taken so far. So I know that there was a lot of thought behind playing Robin Hood, because a lot of people played Robin Hood mixed results over the years. Yeah, and you said yes. Why?
I said yes to be honest, initially when it was just a concept, I was I had fairly large reservations, but Otto Bathurst, who directed the picture, he is the kind of mastermind behind that series, Peaky Blinders. Mm-hmm. And
Allie's favorite show.
I'm not allowed to talk about it on the air because I talk about it too much, but Arthur is in the movie.
He is in the movie.
I screamed when I saw
Paul
him.
Not that you're all not great, but
Arthur is in it, you guys.
You got it. You're right. And it was something of that style of putting a kind of rock and roll twist on a historical kind of period piece that just felt like it would work for a Robin Hood movie. Because as you say, there have been so many of them, but it's a total reimagining. It's a retelling of the story.
How different is this from all of the other versions that we've seen?
I mean, even from, you know, you can check out the trailer. Just, I mean, the difference at the heart of it is that we've approached it like a modern story. The archery is very fast paced, and the stunt sequences are designed to feel more like they're from modern warfare rather than a period film. So, and also, you know, it's an origin story. At the start of the movie, you don't really recognize him as the hero from folklore. He's just this messed up kid who has been put in this awful situation where he's been fighting in the Crusades for 4 years, and he's very damaged.
And because of the archery and the choreography, it's so insane what you're seeing in this movie. It feels almost like a modern day superhero. You're like a medieval superhero in this movie.
That's what we're going for, you know, something that kind of basically, you know, my character meets Jamie Foxx's character, who is called John, and he teaches him this style of archery that's incredibly fast-paced. It's a real style of archery that I learned from a guy named Lars Anderson.
Yeah, who I know because I love YouTube.
He's a YouTube sensation. Yeah. So he can fire 9 arrows in 4 seconds. He's a machine.
Oh wow.
He's crazy.
Insane.
That's insane.
It is insane. And when you watch the videos, you don't believe it. And then you get to meet him in real life, and he can just do these insane things. We used to do this like practice exercise where we would fire arrows at each other with huge foam heads on the end of them, so that they're safe when they hit you. And there was a day where I managed to hit him, and it did not happen very often. And I hit him from about, I mean, I'm metric, so I'd say like 40, 50 meters away, which is, I'm rubbish with feet.
That's 100 miles.
Thank you. Yeah. It's actually, yeah. It's two journeys to the moon and back. And I hit him, and as I hit him, I made the mistake of laughing.
Oh.
And the moment I laughed, he hit me right between the eyes. Oh, no word of a lie.
He was just toying with me.
Wow. A split second later.
Wow. Karen, this is a dumb question, forgive me, because I'm unfamiliar with Lars's YouTube channel, but why is he so good at shooting arrows? Like, what's his impetus to learn how to be so good at that? Because it's not a skill that's very useful.
No, I think, you'd have to ask him, but my suspicion is that it's a kind of obsessive thing. He doesn't really talk about a great deal else. He's very, very passionate. It's his life. And I think, you know, it's like, you know, great piano players, for example, the reason they're great is because they spend every waking moment doing it. And I think that's just what he does, and it's how he earns his living.
How good did you get?
I got okay. I know the studio released some footage of me training, and I'm okay. I suspect they may have made me look a little better than I am. Certainly.
You go to them and say, hey, make me look a little better on the whole arrow thing.
I think some clever editing. But I did spend a lot of time learning, and I quite enjoyed it, actually. Not so much that I've kept it up and that it's become like a pastime, but I did have a good time learning.
Were there any mishaps where somebody accidentally got hit by an arrow on the set while filming the movie?
Like the crow?
That would really be a dark secret of the production, wouldn't it? Okay, how am I going to bring that one back around?
Did anyone get injured?
No, I was thrown off a horse.
You were thrown off a horse?
I was thrown off a horse. I'm not that big a fan of our equine brothers and sisters. I like them to look at and observe from afar. I even like other people on top of them. I just don't particularly like being on top of them. So
do you feel out of control?
I feel out of control, and I feel like they are inherently skittish, and I feel like they're inherently unpredictable.
They're also monstrous when you're sitting on top of you. Like, okay, this horse weighs a thousand times what I do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And for me, the risk to reward thing is massively outweighed. It's sort of enjoyable, but it hurts your bum. And I just don't really get it. But I got through the movie anyway. But the first couple of weeks we arrived there, and I got on the back of this horse, and I went to I think it was called Laszlo the horse master. I was like, I shouldn't be on this horse. I can feel it doesn't want me on it. And so he got me off that horse and then made me get on another horse. And the moment I got on the second horse, I was obviously giving off a vibe.
They sense it.
And the moment I got on that second horse, it bolted. And it bolted for about I think it must have been 7 seconds, which is a long time.
That's like 3 miles.
Of being on it before there's only half a journey to the moon and back. Like 7 seconds of knowing I was going to come off it. And genuinely, I know this sounds dramatic, I really thought I was going to die.
I believe it.
I thought it was the end because it was galloping, and I was trying to get it to stop and shouting at it, and I thought it was the end. And then this was 2 weeks into prep, and then I had to do the whole movie with bruised ribs.
Did you get hurt? I was going to ask, did you get hurt?
I had to go to hospital. Bruised ribs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And you knew you were going to hit the ground at some point, and in your mind, you were imagining how much is that going to hurt?
And I mean, there's always that, not to be overly serious, but there's always that Christopher Reeve thing in your mind with horses, an actor. Yeah, it's just kind of, it's a serious thing.
It's a miracle he's alive today, you guys.
Living.
That's what he's saying.
Right next to us.
Amazing. Touched by God.
Let me hit the movie cast again, and then we'll do 60 seconds with Taron before he leaves. This is a phenomenal group of people in this movie. Taron, obviously, is playing Robin. You got Jamie Foxx as John. Ben Mendelsohn is the Sheriff in Nottingham. Eve Hewson, who, by the way, I fell in love with on The Nick. She's a wonderful actress. She plays Maid Marian. Tim Minchin, our friend Tim Minchin, is Friar Tuck.
We love him so much.
And Jamie Dornan, come on, ladies, Will Scarlet in the movie. It's a great cast. It opens up everywhere on Wednesday, November 21st. Before you go, Taron, Kevin is going to fire at you 60 seconds of questions. First answer that comes to your mind, okay?
I love it. Great.
Let's do 60 seconds with Taron Egerton. What were you like in high school?
Chubby.
What was the worst job you ever had?
I used to help old ladies try shoes on in a clothes store called Peacock's in my hometown.
We talked about Star Wars. What's a role in a movie you were upset you didn't get?
The lead role in Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk by Ang Lee. I'm less upset now that it's come out.
Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
Saying that again?
Dog kisses on the mouth.
Kisses on the mouth. Not a chance. Okay. No way.
Pineapple on pizza, yes, or I'm not an animal?
100% yes.
Okay.
Oh, you're so British.
Have you ever been in a real fight?
I have, and I hated it.
Did you win?
I did.
You won, and you hated it. What's your go-to song for karaoke?
Faith, George Michael.
Oh, nice. What's the thing most people would be surprised to find out about you?
I don't know, actually.
Third nipple.
Let's go third nipple. It's on the sole of my foot.
Strange placement, but okay. Taron, you are a delight, my friend. Thank you so much for stopping by.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
You guys remember the Taron Egerton times?
Oh, that guy's awesome. What a dreamboat.
Those were good times, weren't they?
What a Hollywood hunk.
Now we gotta just look at us.
What a pinup.
Now we're what's left.
All these outdated terms.
Weird. Now we gotta talk to stupid Dr. Drew coming up after 9.
Oh, he's dreamy though, too, B.
He is kind of dreamy. Right. That's true. Okay. All right. You give me something to look forward to. It's Thursday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's time for What's Happening. Here's Allie.
Did you see all that Facebook news yesterday?
No.
Really, really interesting stuff coming out of Facebook where basically, they had hired a firm to spread a conspiracy theory that they were being attacked by Soros, funded by Soros, a research firm, to accuse critics of Facebook because they had a lot of bots that were pushing the Russian agenda.
Right.
So they hired a research firm to accuse those critics of saying you're all funded by Soros. It was mind-boggling. The
things I'm still not following it.
You didn't see that story?
I didn't.
Oh. It was huge news.
I
mean,
I saw that it existed, but I just didn't care enough about it.
You should try to stay current.
I know I should, to look into it.
Basically, finger pointing. They hired someone to finger point
at
Soros.
And to plant stories about that to basically head off the critics that were saying, wait, but you guys did all this stuff with these Russian bots. You guys are bad here. Mm-hmm. So this is what brings me to this story, because I thought, wow, Kanye sometimes hitches that star to weird people at the most inopportune of times.
Sure.
Which is why video that he posted yesterday on Twitter of him doing karaoke with Mark Zuckerberg was a strange choice of timing.
That's weird.
Apparently, they were together and they were singing the Backstreet Boys' I Want It That Way. What is happening in the world that Mark Zuckerberg and Kanye are hanging out doing karaoke?
It is odd.
The world is just a giant game of Mad Libs now. That's all.
Yeah.
It really is.
Those are two people I don't want to be next to on a plane, though. Like, I don't want to sit next to either of those, Kanye or Zuckerberg. Like, I get how they would sort of they could understand each other well.
I mean, you might get your $300 back.
Well, I don't need it at this point.
Okay.
Jerkwad.
Oh, someone's rich.
No, right? I just mean I don't want to talk to him about it. But also, I'm filthy rich.
Also the rich part.
Yeah.
So Chance the Rapper is expanding into movies. He's going to be the producer of an upcoming musical. It's titled Hope. The film is going to follow a group of Chicago teens that band together to turn art into action within the community. There's going to be an Empire writer and producer writing the screenplay, Carlita Rodriguez, as well as Nico Siegel, who formed Save Money with Chance and Vic Mensa. He's going to oversee the music. So that seems like it has everything good going for it right there.
Sounds like Fame or Breakin'. Two great classics about children rising up to save the theater. You know what I mean?
I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Did you ever want to go to the high school in Fame?
Nah, because I feel like being the one rapper in my high school really helped me stand out. But if I had to go up against like 25 others, I wouldn't have made it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were too good.
And then you'd go to a modeling shoot and they'd make you take off your top and you'd be like, no, I don't. And then you'd cry like Coco.
That classic episode of Fame.
Anyone else?
No.
Anyone else?
Nope. Nobody
no
else.
Idea.
Again, my babysitter let me watch it because my parents thought that the storylines were too adult.
You're terrible babysitter.
She was the worst. Oh, I love And Debbie Allen would hit the cane against the floor and she'd do her big speech.
People have been waiting. When will Kevin and Bean address Fame?
Oh,
and we've
you've
done it.
Got it. And Leroy, that was like, he had the cool braids.
People are wondering when we're going to stop talking about Fame.
All right.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
Did you guys enjoy, though, when we got the screener for Robin Hood with Taron Egerton that was just in? And I immediately watched it. And my first response was to email all of you and say, Arthur Shelby from Peaky Blinders is in it.
You
did you guys immediately hate it just because I said that?
Not it.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Stay
what you
on
did.
Target.
Okay.
Stay on target.
Okay, apologies. You guys have heard of FOMO, right?
Yes.
The
sure.
Fear of missing out. Do you know what?
I have that big time.
You do?
Yeah, big time.
I have FUBU.
Oh, yeah. For us, by us. Good times. Do you guys know what JOMO is?
JOMO?
Joy of missing out?
Joy of missing
That's
out.
That's what I have.
That's what I have. That's what Bean has.
I love it.
So they can kind of bring it back to a blogger who first posted about it back in 2012, but it seems to really be gaining momentum now.
So this is a party or a thing that you're happy you're not at?
Joy of missing out is describing your feeling of not caring that you're missing out on something because you're having such a good time being by yourself at home.
That's what I have.
I love JOMO so much.
Because I look at things. I know people look at things and go, oh, I wish I was there. I go, oh, I would have had to get dressed.
Oh, and then the parking and then the walking in and
Nope.
I had a conversation last night. My wife has all these people that are coming in for Mardi Gras. And I'm telling her, I'm leaving town. I don't want to have any. The worst week of the whole year in New Orleans is Mardi Gras.
They will come back smashed.
Get me as far away from it as possible. I will have so much JOMO missing Mardi Gras.
Your life is JOMO, and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. All right. Well, some birthdays for you. Lily Aldridge, Shailene Woodley.
Sunshine on my
vagina
makes me happy.
That's probably very confusing for a lot of people.
I was going to say, do you want to explain it? Because I've gotten a lot of tweets. Sunshine on my what?
Apparently, Shailene Woodley in an interview, you know, she was on that Big Little Liar, Big Little Lies. I mean,
such big liar.
And one of the interviews that she did, she talked about how that was part of her health regimen, was to just go out and just open up her skirt or whatever, let the sun get right on her vajayjay. And apparently she thought it was healthy and made her feel good and rejuvenated. And I don't know if that has caught on or if it's just her at this point.
That sounds unnecessary.
I did record that little tribute to Shailene Woodley. Happy birthday.
Yeah, I've had a lot of skin cancers. I don't need it in my hoo-ha. So,
Dr. Drew Pinsky is on the line, as he is every week about this time. And Drew, tell our listeners where you are right now and what you're getting ready to do.
I'm sitting in a dressing room watching Rachel Ray about to go on her show.
And you guys are going to be cooking what today? Some sort of a rice pilaf?
I just saw Italian tomatoes go by, so I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing some sort of pasta.
I love that Drew goes on all these shows.
I do, too.
No matter what it is, they figure out a way that Drew makes sense. Whether it's
Wendy
Williams.
It will make sense, trust me, because it's a holiday show and relationships get tense and they want to hear about it. The amazing thing to me is that people still don't have common sense solutions to common problems. That's weird to me.
Yes, you become the voice of reason. That is,
yes.
We should be able to figure this stuff out by ourselves.
Yes. We'd rather worry about our language these days than about anything else.
We are actually very happy to have you on, as we are each week, because you do talk about important things. And this is one that we all realized is serious and doesn't get discussed a lot, and that is breast cancer. Breast Cancer Awareness Month was last month, but it is back at our local news because of a friend of all of ours that you worked with, Dr. Drew at KBC, Jillian Barbary, had a double mastectomy last week. Why don't you walk us through a little bit, because I feel good talking about this because she's been so public with the details. So we're not violating anything here, but what happened in her situation that led her to that decision?
Well, she was diagnosed with cancer. She has breast cancer, and she has stage 2, as far as I know. It was involved the lymph nodes, and that is a mastectomy. I don't know why she decided. I think more cosmetic and just to eliminate any potential future risks. She went for the bilateral mastectomy. But, that's what you do when there's cancer and of that nature. And depending on the cell type, again, cancer, you got to understand, cancer is an abnormal growth of a particular cell. One cell has an error in its DNA metabolism. Your immune system doesn't pick it up, and that cell then just populates. So every cell in your body can be a source of cancer, which I know is a lovely thought. But commonly, what they call adeno cells, things that are in our glandular tissue, are the things that are most commonly associated with cancer, that and our hematological systems.
How common is breast cancer, and how good are most women about getting mammograms and staying on top of it to make sure that it doesn't sneak up on them?
Yeah, Bean, this was an interesting part of the story for me. It's like, Jillian was a year late on her mammogram, and you should not obviously be late. You get them done regularly. And when she had her mammogram, she came back to me and she goes, what do they mean that there is something that looks like cancer? Why do they use that word? I said, that's why we do mammogram, to detect cancer. It was a very strange experience for me to realize that some people go through the experience of doing screening, not really understanding why they're doing it or what they're doing it for. We are looking for early detection, early signs that there might be something cancerous brewing. And then we can jump on it. And I think common sense tells most people that for most cancers, early intervention, you can reduce the potential, you can improve the prognosis. Some cancers, like pancreatic cancer, it almost doesn't matter when it's diagnosed. It's already spread everywhere. And so one of the features of these cells as they begin to grow, again, these one single cell that becomes cancerous, is it loses the usual connectivity with the cells of its own type, and they just start drifting out into other parts of your body, usually through the lymph or bloodstream or by direct extension, and then those become little regions of cancer continues to grow. And of course, carcinomatosis, it can get all over the place, and it's very, very, very hard for us to fight that back. But we're living in a time when the treatment, you know, a third of women get breast cancer. It's exceedingly common. It has always been exceedingly common. Wow. I don't understand people looking around going, why is everyone getting cancer? Well, you live long enough, you will get a cancer of one type or another. Our immune system is not as good at detecting these cancers, and our DNA repair mechanisms aren't as efficient as we get older. And so things go haywire, and we get these things if you live long enough. And we live a long time these days, so people are getting them. They're exceedingly common, but there's a ton now to be done with this. We now have almost personalized. You can almost get a sort of a signature of the cell you're going after and then figure out a particular set of biological interventions that are not just general poisons like we used to do. Chemos were just previously general poisons. Now we can actually unlock the immune system ability to see that cell. For these cells to grow, Wow. Your immune system has to not detect it, right? So the cancers learn, so to speak, ways to put proteins on their surface that protect it from your own immune system and make it essentially invisible. We now have cancers that unlock that and allow your immune system to go in and clean it up.
Suck it, cancer.
Yeah, no kidding. Right? That's great news. That's great news.
Drew, do you believe in sort of like the gene testing and stuff like that for this? Like,
100%. There's a great organization called Color.com where you can get genes. You can get the 30 most common, again, typically DNA repair. Not everyone has an efficient DNA repair system. Things like the BRCA gene, I think people are familiar with. But there's also something called Lynch syndrome that's associated. There's at least six different kinds of Lynch syndromes that are associated with inefficiencies in DNA repair. And so it's about $250 to get the testing done. If you're positive, they'll check your first degree relatives for $50. And what's crazy about this, two things, two notes. One is that would have cost $5,000 to $10,000 5 years ago.
Wow.
Even.
Wow.
It's unbelievable how fast this technology has advanced. And I did it for my family. And lo and behold, my sister, myself, and two of my sons have Lynch syndrome. So we have to now get extra aggressive screening done every year because our risk for colon cancer and stomach cancer is high. And guess what? Once you've detected something like Lynch, your insurance company wants to pay for this screening because they don't want to pay for the cancer treatment later.
Wow. Wow, you don't hear that often about insurance companies.
What is that website again?
What's the website?
It's called Color, like your red, blue, and green. Mm-hmm. Color, color.com. It's color.com. Okay. You say it's a spit test. You send it in just like Ancestry or 23andMe, and it is phenomenally effective and extremely important in terms of how we do the screening. We talked about a mammogram. You change the kind of screening you do depending on this genetic testing.
I got a mammogram recently, and the day that I was kind of waiting, it was the first day that I could get results. I saw Jillian's tweet that she had cancer. Mm. Not joking. Within minutes, my phone rang, and I saw it was my OBGYN's number, and oh, God.
Don't answer.
I don't want to answer. But everything is fine, and that's wonderful and great. But I have so many friends that go, I just keep putting it off. I'm so busy. I can't do it.
Foolish.
What are you doing?
It's foolish. And I got to get colonoscopies and upper endoscopies every year because of my Lynch syndrome, and I just do it.
Yeah.
And Jillian, back to Jillian's case, I mean, there are different cell types of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. There's different biological signatures, and she has a very good one. So I think this is going to go well. And again, a reminder that even though it's an exceedingly common cancer, most women live a long time after diagnosis.
And the Jillian Barbary one really stuck with me, too, because it's like this sort of, she's so outlandishly outspoken, mm-hmm. and she's so loud. And then to see her kind of be vulnerable with this has been so hard. But it's been helpful for a lot of people to realize it could happen to anyone and that everyone needs testing.
We're biological entities. We don't like coming to terms with that, but that's the fact.
Final question, Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
We know you have to go to get on the TV, and this is the most important question, which is why I've saved it for last. How are we doing on breast reconstruction these days? Are they going to look great again one day?
Listen, ask Jillian. I sent her to a surgeon that does a reconstruction so you wake up with new breasts after the mastectomy, and she at least has been tweeting gleefully about the cosmetic result.
Dr. Kasselis?
Huh?
Is it Kasselis plastic surgery?
Yes.
Yeah. They do good work.
Allie's been looking into it. Okay.
She does an amazing job. I've known her for a long time. And just, you wake up and you're happy. You don't feel disfigured. You've got something that's to your specifications. And Jillian seems really, really satisfied.
I'm so happy to hear that, and I'm so happy the surgery went well. We're all pulling for her. All right, drdrew.com is where you want to go for all the podcasts and live appearances. You can also hear most days, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 on 790 KABC. Have fun on Rachel Ray today. Doc, we love you. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean.
Look who got, just came back from his honeymoon.
Hey, Jensen.
Oh, hello, friends.
Welcome back.
I'm back. I'm, please, refer to me as Mrs. Carp. Yeah, I'm married now.
You gotta be so glad to get out of the house, man. Get away from that ball of chain, right?
Oh, my wife.
Seriously, my wife already.
I've been waiting to say that for years.
So how was it?
It was very fun. We had to be a little tricky on air by saying it's in the future or a few weeks, but it was really now about 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I got married here in Los Angeles, and it was very fun. It was a good time.
Yeah.
Kevin said it was a lovely wedding.
Yes. Kevin came and sat with the entire Boy Meets World cast.
I did.
Which was both a funny visual every once in a while to look over and be like, right. That's not Mr. Feeney. That is just my pal hanging with them. And they're the sweetest people, right?
Plus, I knew no one, but the sweetest people in the world.
Sweetest people. But it was very fun, and it was very lovely. I don't like attention brought to me on birthdays, or I'm not a big, like, say, a speech guy. We made sure no speeches were said. I don't like that kind of attention. Mm-hmm. But, man, I actually very much enjoyed celebrating this love, as corny as it sounds.
Aww.
It's very fun.
And it was not drawn out. Like, some weddings go on forever.
Yeah.
They just got up there. They did it. They said their own vows. And it was a party.
We almost did. Our hashtag, how people have, like, you know, Danielle Jensen or something, you know, for your photos. We almost did. We didn't do one at all, really. But it was going to be just done by 10. Please leave by 10.
I heard from people that were there that they thought Kevin was Mr. Feeney and that he looked terrible, that he had aged poorly since the show went off the air.
No, they did not believe that. Everyone was a huge fan of seeing Kevin. And Ali Siegel was there, and she got to come over and say hello. It was a bit of a nice moment to see my two friends hanging. Mike Shinoda was hanging. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Did you wrap your vows as I would have expected?
No, I think that I would have been booed. I did a
because Danielle would have destroyed you.
That's right. She would have did a total battle. The first tight 5 minutes of my vows were making fun of Thailand, which is a place that Danielle and I went on vacation and had a very bad time. So when you're writing them at home, I was like, okay, this is kind of a funny idea. But wow, this could go over real bad.
How will it play?
So
you got to think of the parents, right?
I know.
What were the first words of yours?
We both hated Thailand.
Hated Thailand so much. That's how we started.
It was a very loving connection we had. We're both supposed to love this place, and then we didn't love it. And so it's a big part of our love story.
Sure.
Is that we found love in a horrible place. And so that was my focus. And it went over very well. But I was nervous at first that I wasn't making a joke of it. It was really a large connection for us.
Sure.
So it went well. But I did not wrap it, no.
Hey, there's a lot to be said for people who hate the same stuff that you hate.
That's right. I agree. I feel like that's a bigger connection than if you both like Walking Dead. Like, everyone likes Walking Dead. What if you both hate Walking Dead? Now you have something to connect with.
Sure. Right.
But I don't know.
Like, Allie can't date a Sharks fan, you know? Same sort of thing.
Gross.
Same with me.
Yeah.
Right?
That's disgusting.
Yeah, gross. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Kevin refuses to have a Sharks fan on the side. Exactly.
The other thing that I thought was great, and it happens very seldom, is that every single person in the room is a friend of yours or Danielle's and loves you.
Yes.
Like a whole room full of those people. Rarely happens.
So you say like in life or for
weddings?
In
life.
Oh, yeah. For
life.
It was very nice in that way. And it was cool. This also was something I didn't expect. The internet really took to this wedding, which was like a cool thing in a way that like trended for days and like ended up on news stories and all these things. And I would have originally, especially lying about when the date was and things so that people didn't show up, like I would have thought I hated that. Mm-hmm. And it's odd that I actually sort of liked it because it was so overly positive for Danielle. I mean, the world loves her.
And you expected just the opposite. Like, oh, no, she's so...
Or like, who's the accountant she's marrying? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But instead, it was very positive and it was nice to see people celebrate it. And it was, I don't know, a lot of surprises for me in the attention it got. John Mayer sang, which was like a big story for a day or two. Like those kind of things I normally would have hid from. And instead, I actually enjoyed seeing it out there.
That's nice.
Yeah.
What was the name you were given in one of the headlines? They were unclear as to the name of the groom.
Were
you Jensen Smith or something?
Jensen Clark.
Jensen Clark. Yes.
I got Jensen Clark. And then also my other favorite was the Daily Mail that wrote, Boy Meets World, Danielle Fishel gets married, .. after 8 months of engagement. It's like,
ew.
Hot story.
What the hell?
Hot tip, man.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, is that the hot story? Then there was also a couple that said John Mayer serenades Danielle Fishel at her wedding. And I was like, was I there?
Right?
Like, did he do that behind my back?
A little creepy. We weren't going to tell you, Jensen.
Yeah, but it was very fun, and I appreciated the reaction to it. And also, just like, I loved the night. I thought it was really fun.
How many memes of Corey's going to be pissed have you gotten? I've gotten 700, and I work with you,
it's
so I can't even imagine.
It's not inventive.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, so there are some every once in a while that come in that I'm like, okay, at least that's a good joke.
Be witty.
Yeah, but the one of either that's not Corey, or the one of him ripping his shirt open that says, like, Topanga, like, let's check in on Corey, and it's that.
Yeah.
Those aren't funny. But there are ones that are very good.
Right.
Those are not them, those
okay.
two.
So cut it out, people.
Would you mind, Jensen, if I read the Bro Bible story from a week ago?
I didn't read it, so this will be my first time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll enjoy it very much.
Great, great. Who's this dork?
When B says that, you won't.
Also, for the record, if there's any website that is not on brand for me, it's Bro Bible.
Right.
Yes. So this
very
makes sense,
so.
Whatever it
I
says.
I am not shocked you didn't read it.
This is from 7 days ago, and it's written by a young man named Matt Keegan.
Okay. The Pulitzer Prize winning Matt Keegan.
And he says, here's the headline. Topanga Lawrence just got married, so please allow me to irrationally hate on her new husband to soften the blow.
Oh, that's actually very funny.
What
it is
funny.
Yeah. I'm
Jensen
sorry.
Karp could very well be the pinnacle of human evolution. He could adopt abandoned puppies in third world countries and not post to social media about it. He could be sinking his own money into finding a cure for childhood cancer. He could leave positive Yelp reviews. Jensen Karp cannot do enough good in this world to change my opinion on him, which is and will always be F him and the horse he rode in on that he saved from a sure death at a glue factory and is now using to teach horseback riding lessons to underprivileged children. Jensen Karp will never be able to overcome his one fatal flaw. He just married Topanga Lawrence and robbed me of a fantasy that I've had since I was wearing Hulk Hogan undies and wearing light-up sneakers. Topanga, known to her mother as Danielle Fishel, married the Karp on Sunday in Los Angeles at the swanky Carondelet house. So I think that's an endorsement there.
I mean, I enjoy it. And also, that's funny.
That's
not
very good.
Yes, I take back my jokes about Bro Bible.
Jensen is the head writer for Drop the Mic on TBS, which is emceed by Method Man and model Haley Baldwin. Well, la de effing da. Please join me as I do with all of my ex's new boyfriends, comb through their social media accounts and unfairly and irrationally judge them out of spite and missed opportunity.
Oh, he then roasts me picture by picture.
Then he goes on and like points out the, hey, Jensen, sweet jacket. What color is that? I've been on a beer bender for 2 weeks and haven't had a sip of water. Boom, roasted. I mean, he goes through your I got to send you the link.
This is incredible.
That's pretty good.
I love it.
See, this is funny, though.
Yes, that wins.
This one is funny.
Yeah.
I bet you did break a lot of hearts, though, from people who grew up thinking that it was going to be their job.
It would appear so. It would appear so. I never had watched the show growing up. I've only seen 2 episodes because she's shown me them recently. And we grew up together, so I just knew her as someone who was famous from my school growing up.
Right.
And was very sweet and very nice. I learned quickly that the world treats her as sort of a... everyone's childhood is defined by their first crush,
right.
It seems.
Right.
And she was many people's first crush.
I'm glad to hear that you only watched 2 episodes of Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
Because I'd watched none.
Well,
I was sitting at the table with the cast.
Yeah. Did they ask you, like, did
not
it come
really.
Up?
Okay.
Was there a quiz?
I was able to just sort of, I'm going to get out of that conversation just because I don't want it to be embarrassing.
No, but I don't think they expect. They always say they didn't think anyone was watching until now. Now they know people were watching because people. But back then they were like, no one knew who it was.
Social media.
But I've never seen an episode either. But we're also not the right age to have grown up with
no,
that
show.
No, I hope not.
So I don't think you would expect us.
No, if not, you have a possible issue.
Yeah. Correct.
A little creepy. Yeah. A little creepy.
Exactly. Notify the authorities.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad everything went well. And welcome back. You were missed. So
I appreciate it.
So it's good to see. Good to see.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Allie's here. Our final look at what's happening here on this Thursday morning and free stuff alert.
Free stuff, you guys. Creed 2 is in theaters November 21st. You've got Michael B. Jordan, Sylvester Stallone, Tessa Thompson, and more. But how about I'm going to give you guys a pair of Fandango passes to see Creed 2 in theaters. If you call right now, 1-800-520-1067, and you can be callers 10 through 14, you're not only going to get that pair of Fandango passes to see Creed 2 in theaters, you are also going to qualify for the Creed 2 Rematch in Philadelphia prize pack. What's that, Allie?
What's that, Allie?
Glad you asked, Kevin. Mm-hmm. It's round-trip airfare to Philadelphia, three-night hotel stay and event transportation, and the ultimate Creed 2 experience. You're going to visit some filming locations. You're going to have a cheesesteak making experience.
Yum, yum. Give me some of that.
And more. Again, callers 10 through 14 right now at 1-800-520-1067. Good luck to you. All right. So there's a tweet yesterday from the official Twitter channel of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services.
You've been kicked out?
Nope. Oh. It's three pictures of a man we know, a man we love, just sitting there holding a little American flag and his hand up. And it says, "It's a nice day for a naturalization ceremony. Congratulations, Billy Idol, on becoming a new U.S. citizen." Aw, Billy!
All right.
Wow, he's coming in right at the end, isn't he?
The guy Bad timing, some would say.
The guy who watches only the season finale.
That's exactly what's happening here. He walked in the last 5 minutes of this movie.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord. Well, he's got things to look forward to because we need to brace ourselves as a country, as a people. Because reports are swirling that Goop founder Gwyneth Paltrow is dropping strong hints that she plans to bring her $250 million lifestyle brand to television. No word yet on the details, but she has launched their first international pop-up in London and is headed to Australia next. Goop TV, you guys.
I need to know how many ways I can make avocado toast.
Wait, are you talking about a television show or a network?
A lifestyle brand to television. So it could be...
Sounds like a TV show.
Yeah, sounds like a TV show, like a Martha Stewart-esque show, only with,
but
you know,
for rich people.
Crystals you put up your hoo-ha and stuff.
Okay.
She's definitely going to sing on it.
I hope so.
Yeah, it's just her and Huey Lewis. singing karaoke.
I didn't think she was a terrible singer in that movie.
No, it wasn't a great movie,
but she wasn't a bad singer.
No, I just think she just tries too hard. I mean, many things, but in singing, she's just always like, "I'll sing." You know, it's like she shouldn't be doing anything. Like she should be, you know, a huge movie star, and instead she's like, "Huey Lewis, I'm in." It's like, what? What? You're not supposed to work with Huey Lewis, Gwyneth Paltrow.
What if he's her co-host on Goop?
Oh, it'd be great.
Right?
Oh, my God. Now I need it. You guys, this is a survey that I think a lot of us might agree with. It found that nearly 7 out of 10 people, 69%, said they'd like to skip the tradition of giving and receiving presents this holiday season.
Presidents?
Did I say presidents?
Yeah. You can get those and receive them?
I didn't know that. No.
1 year I got Teddy Roosevelt, couldn't return
them. Oh, bummer.
Awful.
The tradition of giving and receiving presents this holiday season, if their friends and family would agree to it.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Most of those surveyed said they would rather give and receive the gift of time. So instead of, you know, going out, buying gifts, doing all that, they would rather just spend time with family and friends.
I thought they'd buy me a watch.
No,
which I'm also into.
Gift of time, a watch, I see what you did, yeah.
Hurry up, Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think I might be on board with that.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm way on board with that. And B, the older I get and the more I see the people in the world that need it more than we do, mm-hmm. the more I think I wish we could just all just give to charity for Christmas.
It seems frivolous the older you get.
It does. And we've talked about this on the show before, and it has been determined, and it may even have been a scientific survey, Kevin. You'll tell me if I'm wrong, but a gift in, say, your name from me to a charity is not a gift to you, is what we determined, right? Even though the intention is nice, it's not really a gift to you.
I think so, but that's if you expect a gift.
Right.
And this particular survey is they would rather not.
Mm-hmm.
And if they would rather not, then it would be perfectly fine.
Because I think that would be the best thing in the world if people said, look, instead of giving more things to people who already have everything, why don't we give that money that we would have spent to people like fire victims this year in California, for instance?
Yeah, we didn't.
Happy Christmas.
People were very taken back that we did not have a registry for our wedding. Like, people were bummed.
People were like, I want to buy you plates.
Yeah, we didn't want gifts, really. Right. I mean, if someone wants to give it, fine, that's nice. But I mean, I don't encourage them. Mm-hmm. I'm just sort of like, no, do so. And a lot of people gave to charity. Which
That's
was nice.
Or they that said is great. They did.
What? No, so people send us the little receipts. It's very nice.
Ew, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I think that's an interesting conversation for another day, because there are people who love Christmas and love giving gifts and love receiving gifts, too. So, you know, obviously that's the other 30%. But I do think there's some discussion to be had on that, because I certainly know my views on it have changed a lot over the years.
Yeah.
I like toys.
Okay. All right.
Is that what we're saying?
Kevin. Very odd.
Kevin, why didn't you get the flamethrower? That's been the biggest question of 2018 for me. When Elon Musk came out with the Boring Company flamethrower, I thought you would be first in line. You would knock down widows and nuns.
Are they in line for a flamethrower?
They
have some issues.
And little kids in wheelchairs. You do everything you could to be first to get that flamethrower. You didn't even try to buy one.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in myself. Was something.
That's a good way to kick the new file off.
My
husband died. I want a flamethrower. Please.
So common.
I've been waiting 3 days. This man just pushed me over from the radio. My husband's been dead.
Somebody do the right thing and get Kevin a flamethrower for Christmas.
Are you already over it, though? The flamethrower?
Oh, like, God, no. I love fire.
You still want it.
It's just fire that's going on now is so hurts so much because there's so much pain for people. So it's hard to say you like fire, but...
Yeah.
I like fire that's not destructive.
Okay.
Let's put it that way.
Like in a candle.
Sure.
All right. Or in your heart. Or your soul.
Sure.
Maybe your butt.
Or in the heart of a widow. Waiting in line.
Or none.
Flamethrower.
Oh, dear.
Don't forget to rock the vote this Tuesday.
It's a week late.
Do something.
It's too late.
Black president.
It's
up to you.
I'm sorry?
And me and all of us.
Again.
Black president.
We weren't talking about.
Taking the vote. Take some action. Okay. I hope you all get out there. Okay. Shake some action and rock the vote. Just think, when I'm on next week, we'll have a new president.
I don't think that's true.
We really need something to shake some action. Get the
some action.
Focused on the wrong thing.
Get out and vote Tuesday.
Okay, no.
Start early and
it's
go
already
on
past
8 or 9 o'clock.
Mm.
And say goodnight. And
it's over a week ago, right?
We'll have a new black president.
That's just not the case.
Yeah. I wish he said black president more.
Well, we made it to 2016, except it is the new year. I'd like to welcome everybody for another new year.
Right.
It's great to be back again.
Okay.
Something new. Here is a band from Canada. They're from Montreal. They're called Citizenship.
Okay.
And they spell it STZNSHP.
Okay, I think we're sidetracked.
That's off the valves.
Yeah.
This is from... I don't think this is on the album.
Okay.
It's a B-side. It's called The New Year. And here they are. Citizenship.
Okay. Very timely. Thank you, Rodney.
Hey, it's Friday.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Rodney. You're Friday.
It's not Friday.
Hey, it's Rodney Bingenheimer here. It's winding down another week of great flashbacks.
It's just Thursday.
And that's Richard's show. Man, what am I doing? Am I doing the flashback show or what?
No.
Make a wish. It's 2011.
What is wrong with
106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q.
Sort of busy.
It's brand new from The Verb, all the original members.
Coming in hot.
The Verb doing Love is the Noise. And that was really good, too. I like that from them. And that's truly Kat's group there. Now, what Kat has to do, she has to play on her show. She's got to play Buck Brothers or Parka. So those are my bands. And Airborne Toxic Event is her band, and I played her band, so it's only fair that she plays a Rodney band on her show, Kat Corbett.
Okay.
She literally discovered this band we're about to play.
Okay. Well, back to you, Allie.
The Airborne Toxic Event.
Okay.
From Airborne Toxic Event.
Toxic.
And I'm going to be at Bordner's tomorrow night.
Oh,
okay.
Hollywood and going to be a good show.
Okay.
And whenever you go to the shows, they give out these CDs.
Listen. Yeah.
I got to get home.
Three CD set with a lot of songs on them.
Running.
You got to check out. Here's one of the bands. You saw the album cover. You can imagine that girl on the cover of that. And
we have
the
to go.
Single of Standing Next to Me has the same girl in a pretty amazing... looking moment. You should check it out. I tried to find out what her name was, but I didn't have her name. I thought it was Kate Moss, but it's not.
Okay.
It has a photographer listed. He's got a webpage.
We have to move.
His name is Sam Hopkins.
Okay.
You want to check out the girl on the last Shadow Puppet. She's quite amazing.
Okay. Back to you.
They go on at 7:30.
Okay.
Get there early. Everyone's going to be there. Cosmo Topper.
Cosmo
you name it. All the cool bands.
Oh, cool bands.
They each do 30-minute sets.
Okay.
Maybe at Bordel tomorrow.
We're seriously out of
tonight.
Time.
Today. Tonight at Monday.
To be clear, Airborne Toxic Rodney Event will not be there.
Unusual music, tonight. But it's good. I love it.
A lot of Rodney
news
bands.
Of the new and flashbacks of the flashbacks
okay.
coming up.
It's like playing. Flashback Inception.
I'll be hosting. The K-Rock band will be there. It'll be a K-Rock night. Coming up.
Okay. You don't, back to you, Alex. Work here anymore.
Canners. I go to Canners just about every night around 10:45, 11. It's a great all night deli on Fairfax.
Okay.
I'm there every night.
We're out of time.
Get there early. There's food there. It's all ages.
Wait, there's food at the diner?
A bunch of other bands are playing right now.
Okay.
Actually, my dolls were on earlier. Actually drove by on the way
it's
here.
It's going to be dinner time by the time
he's
done.
I head out the car window and kind of hear him playing.
Kevin, what's coming up on tomorrow's show?
K-Rock after I left Canners. I'll meet you down at the Troubadour.
Okay.
I keep missing them at Canners. They come to Canners and I keep missing them. They get
Rodney,
too early.
Please.
You got to catch me at a certain time. That's when you
what
can
time
find me. And I love you.
Oh.
Oh.
Ended up on an up note. All right.
What a lovely finish. Yeah. Thank
that
you.
Nice. Isn't
thank
that
you.
The day that
oh my God. Sorry. It's a black president again. Here he comes.
Okay. Allie, we're out of time for you to say goodbye. So, Kevin, why don't you do the business here?
On the drive home today, tomorrow morning on the new Kevin and Bean Show. Cheers with mugs. Weird Al. Thanks to that info bean. And keep it 100.
Bama, Lama, Bama, Lou.